just ask the preacher, what time do you normally stop? What do you think he said? He wouldn't tell me. What time do you normally get out on Sunday morning? When the preacher's done. Y'all aren't helping me at all. See, my motto, I told you last night, as I get older, is if you can't be good, be short. But I got to know what short is, what it's compared to. Well, open 12:15, 12:30. All right, I don't think I can make it to 12:30. Open your Bibles to the book of Job. Job chapter 31. Preacher, I don't remember. Do you stand here when you read the scripture? Okay, so don't stand yet because I'll make a few introductory comments about the passage once I read our text. I am so glad to be back in rural Virginia. Amen. Yeah, this is the home of gun-carrying, government-fighting, bureaucracy-hating, school board-opposing, vest-wearing governor-to-bes, red-necked, hard-nosed, hairy-legged women. And the men are pretty tough, too. So. Job was the best person in the world in his day. God said that. Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the world, all the earth. The devil said, well, yeah, but that's because you've been good to him. You take away all that stuff, and he'll curse you to your face. Job said, well, go ahead, but don't touch his body. God said that to the devil. And Job in one day lost every possession he had. All of his camels, all of his donkeys, all of his sheep, everything. And all 10 of his children. I've done funerals. I've done funerals for a little baby. I've done funerals where I had to come back an hour later to do a funeral for a relative killed in the same car wreck. I've never done a funeral with 10 little caskets lined up in front of the church house. Can't imagine that. And Job said, I was born naked. Didn't have anything when I came to this earth. He said, I'm going to die same way. And he said, the Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, God said to the devil, what do you think of him now? The devil did what wicked people always do. He changed the rules. They always do that. Masks are bad. Masks are good. You got to have the vaccination. Now you got to have the booster shot. Now you got to have one every other week. And that's not the only thing they changed the rules about. He said, with skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. You touch his body, he'll curse you to your face. God said, go ahead. Just don't take his life. And Job was stricken with an awful disease. We think the disease of elephantiasis. His body was covered with boils. He goes outside the gates of the city. He sits down on an ash heap to get a little comfort. He takes a piece of broken pottery and scrapes at those sores. His wife said, you ought to curse God and die. He said, you're talking like one of those foolish women, one of those women don't know God. Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And then Job's friends came. Bildad, Zophar, Eliphaz, put that word friends in quotations. They sat with him for 7 days. They did really well at first. Here's one of the things I would teach our people when I was pastoring. If you don't know what to say, don't say anything. I love you. I'm praying for you. Don't try to be more spiritual than you are. People do that and they say stupid stuff. They did good, but then they started talking and they said stupid stuff. Well, Job, you must have done something wrong. You couldn't have had all these bad things happen without there being some fault, some error, some failure on your part. And Job said, well, I don't think so. time went on, the arguments, the answers of Job got longer and longer. The statements of the friends got shorter. In chapter 32, a young man named Elihu is going to come. Now, we're not going there. I told you chapter 31. Actually was correct when I said that. Elihu's going to have some things to say about Job's friends, but he's going to have something to say about Job. Job's one fault, as we read it in the discourse of Elihu and in the book of Job, is that he justified himself rather than God. Did you know my job and your job in a time of trial is to tell everybody how good our God is? I was given a cassette tape many years ago, testimony of a man named Dave Reaver. If you know anything bad about him, don't tell me, because I really like this story. Dave Reaver was a young married man, drafted into the army in the Vietnamese War. Christian, tried to be a good testimony. His soldier buddies made fun of him. They called him preacher, missionary, evangelist. He gave as good as he got. He called his three biggest critics pervert number one and pervert number two and pervert number three. One day he was in the jungles of Vietnam holding a phosphorus grenade in his hand, a weapon used to clear out swampy areas, and the grenade exploded. They don't know if it was a defective piece of equipment, if a sniper's bullet hit it, but it blew off all the fingers on that hand, blew off his ear, blew off his nose, blew off all but two fingers on that hand. His body was covered with fire. He jumped into that swamp to get a little relief from the pain, and the first words out of his mouth were these: God, I still love you. He got right in that moment of trial the one thing Job got wrong. In chapter 31, we come to the last words that Job says before Elihu speaks. After that, God begins to speak, and you know what Job says? Job says, oops, I didn't know what I was talking about. I lay my hand on my mouth. I was born in South Carolina. We used to say, well, shut my mouth. One of our assistant pastors from Georgia, he said, preacher, in Georgia we said, well, shut my mouth and call me stupid. That's what Job said, shut my mouth. But I want you to look at chapter 31 and stand with me as we read from the Word of God. Verse 35, almost the last words Job says before Elihu speaks. Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me and that mine adversary had written a book. Surely, I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me. I want to talk to you about this thought a little bit this morning, God helping me. If only God had written a book. Lord, would you draw us to yourself? Would you open our hearts to your truth? Would you empower me, please, by your Spirit? You know, I love this pastor and his family and the good church people here, and I want to be a help to them, but I can no more help them than you help me. So please, give me the power that I do not possess to say that which would draw people to yourself, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name for all that you do. Amen. You may be seated. Job has a dilemma. His life makes absolutely no sense to him whatsoever. If you read the book of Job, he is filled with questions. I'm going to give you three of them. He asks this question. He says, what is my purpose? Why do I even exist? Why, Job 3:11, died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Verse 20 of Job 3, wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul which long for death, but it cometh not. I don't know why I'm even alive. My life doesn't make any sense to me. I cannot fathom what kind of a purpose there would be in a life like the one I'm living. He had a second dilemma. First question he had was, what is my purpose? Second question is, why won't God hear my prayer? Behold, Job 19, verse 7, I cry out of wrong, but I'm not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. God, I'm asking for help. I'm looking for answers. I'm pleading with you, and the heavens are silent. And I hear nothing at all. What's my purpose? Why won't God hear my prayer? And here's the third part of Job's dilemma. His third question is, why can't I be pardoned? He said in Job chapter 7, verse 21, why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? For now I shall sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning. But I shall not be. He said in Job 9, verse 2, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? And again in Job 9, verse 32, for he's not a man as I am, that I should answer him. We should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us, that he might lay his hand upon us both. Oh, if you guys are right, if I've done something wrong with God, why couldn't the sin be forgiven? Why do I live in what I feel is a perpetual state of judgment and separation from God? Oh, he said, I wish there was somebody who knew God, a daysman, somebody who knew me, could put one hand on me and one hand on God and reconcile one to the other. Why can't I be pardoned? Then Job made a defense. We find his defense in chapter 31. He says basically two things. He says, I'm righteous in my person, and there is no reason for my punishment. He begins chapter 31 by telling us about his righteousness. He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why therefore should I think upon a maid? He said, I've been pure in my morals. He said, I haven't had evil thoughts. I've been careful who I even look at. He says more about that. He says, I've been generous with my money. He talked about how he had helped the people that were poor, how he had taken them. He said in verse 16, if I've witnessed the poor from their, withheld the poor from their desire, or caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself, the fatherless have not seen them, said, I've been generous. I've had a lot of things. I've shared a lot of things. I've been pure in my morals, been generous with my money. He said, I've been spiritual in my motives. He talked about, in verse 26, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and if my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand. In Job's day, people worshiped the sun and they worshiped the moon. And they would show their worship to those heavenly bodies by kissing their hand with their mouth. And Job said, I've never done that. He said, I've been righteous in my person. He says, there's no reason for my punishment. I haven't done anything to deserve this. Why? Why do I exist? What's my purpose? Why? Why won't God listen to me? Why won't he hear my prayer? Why? Why, if there is some sin that is the cause of this, why can't I be pardoned? But wait a minute, Job. You know your purpose. You know the Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Your job is to glorify God. That word glory is the word doxa, they tell me. It means opinion. My job and your job in all of our lives is to give people a good opinion of our God. Job, you know God will hear your prayer. Why, don't you know, in the most famous sermon ever preached, the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, and seek and you shall find, and knock and the door shall be opened to you. Come on, Job, you know that God will answer your prayer. And by the way, Job, you know you can be pardoned. Why, we love 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Job, you want a daysman? Let me tell you, the Bible says there is one meeting mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. God sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who had always been God, who became man in Bethlehem's manger, was all God and all man at the same time. We are all sinners. We deserve to die and spend eternity in hell. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God, but God loves you. God does not want anybody in this room or anybody in the world to spend 1 minute in hell. But our sin separates us from our God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. If I pay for my sin myself, I must die and spend eternity in hell. I can't pay for my sin by being good or joining a church or giving away money or getting baptized. Nor can you. God loves us. God loves you. I don't know who you are or why you're here, but God wants you to walk out of this room, if you're not already sure of it, knowing that all your sin has been forgiven. Amen. And you have a home in heaven forever. Amen. You can walk out of this place this morning and know that you'll never have to answer for any of the bad things you've ever done. God sent Jesus, and Jesus, when he went to the cross, bore our sin in his own body on the tree, and all the sin of all the world was placed on the back of our Savior, and he paid the penalty for our sin. He died. He rose again, proving his power over sin and Satan and death. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Job, there is someone who can take one hand of a holy God and one hand of a sinful man and reconcile them one to the other, and his name is Jesus. Oh, you know that. Oh, wait a minute. Job didn't have a Bible. No Bible. Job's the oldest book in the Bible. Job was a contemporary of Abraham. Abraham had a son named Isaac, twin boys of Isaac, Jacob and Esau. Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph, the second, the youngest, was sold into bondage in Egypt. The family moved down there because of famine. They stayed there 400 years. Moses was raised up to deliver them. And God gave Moses Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, books of the law, first books in the Bible. It's about 600 years before any man will have a written revelation of God. Job didn't have a Bible. He knew a lot about God. I always thought I was going to do a series on the theology of Job. How much he knew of God before there was a written revelation, but I never did that. Job had no Bible. There are 1.8 billion Muslims in the world today. They believe their God has no son. They believe that he really doesn't love the people in the world. They can only earn his favor by being good. They think maybe if they blow themselves up and kill a bunch of other unbelievers, that is non-Muslims or even the branch of Islam that's not like them, that they may gain favor with their God. Former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, J.D. Greer, said Christians and Muslims worship the same God. That is an insult to both faiths. Remember, the God of the Bible is not the God of Islam. No. Their God wants you to blow your son up as a sacrifice for him, and our God gave his son as a sacrifice for us. Amen. But the difference between them and you, they don't have a book. Amen. You got a book. Amen. Amen. Oh, if only God had written a book. Job's desire. I wish I had a book. There are 1.2 billion Roman Catholics in the world. They believe that Mary and Jesus, or that Mary is a co-redemptress with the Lord Jesus. They think you can pray to Mary and get your prayers answered. They believe that no one can be sure that they will go to heaven when they die. Now, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know that according to the Bible. They think that When you die, you may go to a place called purgatory. You may be there for 100 or more years, and the people burn candles and offer prayers, and you can get yourself taken out of purgatory. But the difference between them and you is they don't encourage people to read the Bible. They're governed more by church authority and church councils than by the Word of God. They don't have a book, but you've got a book. There are 1.1 billion Hindus in the world. They have over a million gods. No Hindu could tell you the names of all of his or her gods. They believe in reincarnation. They think how you live in one life determines how you come back in the next life. When I was in India many years ago in the 80s, there were 750 million people on a continent, a country two-thirds the size of the United States. Now there are over a billion people. There were more rats than people. And the rats ate two-thirds of the harvest, but they wouldn't kill the rats because it might be grandma. But they think if you do really well in one life and really well in the next life and really well in the next life and you keep going up and up and up, you'll eventually reach an exalted state that they know as nirvana. Here's what nirvana is. You see nothing, you hear nothing, you feel nothing, you know nothing. It is an absolute state of oblivion, and they believe that life is so bad that to be unaware of anything else in the world could be the best thing that you could happen. And the difference between them and you is they don't have a book. We've got a book. God gave us a book. Amen. Job said, if only God had written a book. What would you do with it, Job? Well, I believe implied in our text is the fact that it would be his authority. Now, you understand when Job was looking for a book, he wasn't looking for Psalms and Proverbs and the Gospels. He really just wanted a listing of God's accusations against him. I wanted to find out how am I wrong so I could make it right. Our Bible tells us that, but it tells us a whole lot more. Job said, if I had a book, then I could take that book and I could say, okay, God, here's what you said, and here's what I need to do because of what you said. It would be my authority. You know, I believe that there's one way to heaven, and his name is Jesus, but that's not because I was brought up that way. That's because the Bible says so. Amen. You have a wonderful pastor. I think you ought to go to him for counsel and advice, and I think you ought to follow his leadership. But whether he's wonderful or not, you ought to do that because that's what the Bible says. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit themselves, for they watch for your souls as those that must give an account. I believe that every child of God ought to put a tithe into the offering plate, but not because I think the church needs the money, but because that is what the Bible says. The Bible is my authority. I believe the things I live and practice the things I practice, not because I like this group better than that group, or I found this more impressive than that. No, no, no. The authority for my life, the authority for this church, the authority for you is not some constitution or some philosophy. It is the Word of God. If I had a Bible, it'd be my authority, Job said. But he said this explicitly. He said it'd be my answer. Whoa! That mine adversary, by that he meant God. Job knew nothing of the devil's involvement in his trials. All of his speeches were directed toward God or his friends. Boy, he said, if he'd written a book, he said, I wish that one would answer me. Hey, did you know that not only do I get doctrine from the Word of God, I get life lessons from the Word of God. Did you know that in the Bible I learn how to manage my money? In the Bible I learn how to treat my friends. The Bible tells me how to deal with my enemies. The Bible tells me how to be a good husband. It tells how to be a good wife. It tells how to raise your children. It tells how to be a son or a daughter. It tells you what to do when you're happy. It tells you what to do when you're sad. I'm here to tell you every answer you need for the difficulties and the decisions and the times of testing in your life are in the Word of God. It's your answer. But Job said, not only that, not only would the Bible, my desire, I wish God would give me a book, it'd be my authority, it'd be my answer, it would be my adoration. You know what I'd do if I had a Bible? I'd bear it on my shoulder. I'd wear it as a crown. Man, if I had a book that God had written, I'd sure treat it special. Wouldn't throw it on the dresser when I got home and leave it there till the next church service. I don't think you have to do what I do. I don't ever write in my Bible. I think it's good for people to do that, but my writing's so bad I feel like I'm defiling the Word of God. I don't like anything on top of my Bible. If somebody puts a bulletin or something on top of my Bible, I don't fuss at them. I just always move it. Did you know that every good, decent thing I've ever done in my whole life has been because I did something in agreement with this book? Did you know every bad, evil, wicked thing I've ever done in my life is done because I did something in disagreement with this book? Did you know the average person, Brother Brandon, in his excellent Sunday school lesson referenced some of this, the average person watches television 6 hours a day. And they're on their smart device, phone or iPad or whatever, 5.9 hours a day. I don't even know how that makes sense unless they're on their phone while they're watching TV, which is probably the case. If you read the Bible through each year, and you read at an eighth grade level, it'll take you about 8.5 minutes a day. Can I suggest something? If you spend 6 hours a day in the world and 8 minutes a day in the Word, you're going to be more like the world than the Word. No wonder we don't have a biblical worldview. No wonder our churches are filled with people living just like their pagan counterparts, because we have so little interest in the Word of God. You will never have revival until you come to the right position with the Word of God in your life. And everything you need to know about revival, you find not in history, not in the great sermons of R.A. Torrey and D.L. Moody and Charles Finney. You find it in the Word of God. I used to read the Bible through every year. Thought I was doing really good. Then I got convicted I should read it through twice a year. I got in trouble with that preacher. I was preaching one Sunday, and I was trying to talk about reading the Bible through twice a year. I said, I read the Bible twice a year. One day in January, one day in July. That's enough for me. Then I started reading the Old Testament every 4 months, the New Testament. I'm sorry, Old Testament every 3 months, New Testament every 2 months. So I read the Old Testament 4 times a year, New Testament 6 times a year. And then I was in Arizona a few years back, 2017. I got sick. I still preached. By the grace of God, I've not missed a day of work because of sickness in 48 years. After all, part of it was just stubbornness, but God's been good to me. So I'd go back to the motel and go to bed, and I'd go preach, and I didn't sleep the whole time, so I started reading the Bible. And I thought, you know, I bet you I could read the Bible through in a month. In July of 2017, I read the Bible through, and every month since then, I've read the Bible through. Now, what I do, I read it through 12 times by the end of November, and then in December, I memorize Scripture. So right now, I'm memorizing Psalm 90. After that, I'll memorize Psalm 91. Not sure what I'll do after that, but about done with Psalm 90, and starting Psalm 91 today, Lord willing. But a couple interesting things. In this Bible that I hold in my hand, it's a little over 30 pages a day to read the Bible through in a year. How many pages in those Christian fiction books you ladies like to read? Laurie Wick and Beverly Lewis. How many pages in that hunting magazine can you read in a day? How many pages in those novels can you read in a day? Now, here's the amazing thing. I like to read. I read a lot. I think I've read every Louis L'Amour book that's ever been written. But I don't know a Louis L'Amour book I want to read twice, let alone read the same book every month. But I read the Bible and I laugh, and I read the Bible and I hold my hand up and rejoice. And if I'm not around too many people, I shout. This is an amazing book. It's unlike any other book in the world. This one came from Paul's Leather Company in Wallingford, Connecticut. I looked on their website the other night, and the man, in talking about his mission and purpose, every Bible they make, they give a portion to world missions. And he said, it was through this book that you came to know God. It was through this book that you fell in love with God. It was through this book that you developed a relationship with God. Except we have a book, but we don't pay much attention to it. Suppose I unhook this microphone from my tie and I come around and I say, how many days out of the last 7 did you spend some time reading the Word of God? Suppose I'm going to do that to everybody. I won't do that. We say, I just don't have time. Oh, you know better than that. Somebody said it this way. They said, if you want to read the Bible, you'll find a way. If you don't, you'll find an excuse. Don't tell me you didn't have time. Let me check your phone, see how much time you're on Facebook. How much time you're on Twitter. How much time on Instagram. How much time reading those dumb clickbait stories. Woman with 2 heads gives birth to 4 cats. Did you know that the average divorce rate is now 50% in the United States of America? Did you know in homes where the Bible is read every day, it's 1 in 500? I read about a warden on death row. He said he never one time had an inmate on death row who came from a home where they read the Bible every day. Not saying that's not possible, just his observation. I pastored the same church for 44 years. I was a youth pastor 2 years before that. When people got in trouble, I'd always ask them a question. Have you been reading your Bible? I never saw anybody who got in bad trouble that they could not get out of who'd been reading their Bible every day. I'd hear this, I was. I used to. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Brother Brandon mentioned the verse from Job in Sunday school. I've esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. There have been times I got too busy to eat a meal. There have been times I'd buy a newspaper and then go to the end of the day and never read it. I didn't have time. I couldn't tell you the last time I didn't spend some time in the Word of God. Our Father, would you begin this revival meeting by helping us to be honest about a relationship to you and your word. Would you help us face the fact, Lord, we cannot be rightly related to you without being rightly related to your word. Would you give me your mind as I extend the invitation? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Nobody looking around, please. I wonder if I took the Bible or the microphone around and said, how many days out of the last 7 have you read the Bible, if you'd been happy with the answer. I wonder who'd say this. Brother Ouellette, I could not say that I have been faithful in my Bible reading as I should be, but God helping me, I want to begin giving God the attention, his word, the attention it deserves. Start that journey today. I wouldn't want you to bring the microphone by, but I want to settle that today. Pray with me about that. You who say that, would you hold your hand up high? God bless you. 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 Thank you. I wonder who would say, you know what, Brother Ouellette? I'm doing some things I know I shouldn't do based on the Word of God. I'm not doing some things I know I should do based on the Word of God. And God's dealt with me about that. I want to not only love the Bible and learn from the Bible, I want to live what the Bible says. God's dealt with me. There's some things in my life that the Bible condemns. There's some things not in my life that the Bible commands. And I want to change that. God's dealt with me about that. You pray with me about that. If you say that, would you hold your hand up high? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And I wonder if somebody's here today and you say, Brother Ouellette, if I died right now, I do not know for sure whether or not I'd go to heaven. God loves you. He wants you to go to heaven. He paid everything had to be paid so you could have everlasting life. I wonder if you'd let me pray for you. Now, just a second. I didn't draw any attention to anybody who lifted their hand a moment ago. I will not now draw any more attention to you than I did to them then. But I'd like to include you in a prayer. And I wonder who'd say, I do not know that I have a home in heaven. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to be sure about that. When you pray for the other folks, pray for me as well. You who say that, would you slip your hand up high? I'd like to include you in a prayer. Not sure of heaven, but I'd like to be sure. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? Not sure I'm going to heaven. I wish I was sure about that. Pray for me when you pray for these other folks. Slip the hand up high. I've seen two, a man and a lady. I'd like to include you. Thank you. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I want to be sure. Please pray for me when you pray for the other folks. I want to know I have a home in heaven. Include me in the prayer. If you say that, slip the hand up high. Thank you. God bless you, friend. Father, I've seen these hands, but you've seen their hearts. You know their needs. I pray for every one of your children that they would not only be willing to lift a hand, but to bend a knee. And I pray, Lord, for those who said, I'm not sure of heaven, help them to understand how much you love them, that today is the day you have appointed for them to settle their eternal destiny by believing in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed, please?